Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. This is Leslie Federici. Strange, the music didn't start playing. Uh-oh, I think there's some technical difficulty. Anyway, this is Walk on the Well Side with Leslie Federici and Richard Cooper. Rich is not here today, and that's okay. He had some things to do, but I'm sure he'll be back with us next week. So how are you on this really brisk, very cold day, a couple of days actually, in New Jersey and in New York and all up along the East Coast, yes? Brr. So listen, if anybody wants to call in, the call-in number is 917-932-1766, and you should see that on your screen if you're looking at your desktop or if you're listening by via mobile. So I wanted to take this opportunity to talk to you about meditation. Now, I know that that's a buzzword quite a bit. Everybody's talking about it. Well, maybe not everybody, but it's being promoted quite a bit in businesses, in health and wellness. Your doctor might even talking about it, you know, if you're highly stressed. Meditation is a way to help combat that, all right? So there's two parts of you. There's the part that speeds everything up, okay? And we actually live in a very stressful environment. By the way, if you hear that snoring, that's my doggy. That's my Frankie. He's a Boston Terrier, and he's a snorer, okay? He snores a lot in that he's all toasty warm in his little cubicle, and I have a heater going, so he's comfy and he's snoring. So that's what that noise is. It's not me. Okay? So anyway, we live in very stressful times. I'm sure you would agree. If you were sitting right in front of me and I asked you that question, you'd probably nod your head. Yes, yes, yes. Okay? So because we live in a very stressful environment, we're always on the go, and so there's hormones floating around in our bodies, cortisone, epinephrine, adrenaline, and we're constantly pumped up, constantly ready to respond to something. And this is what used to be known as the fight or flight response, and now it's referred to as the stress response, and it can really cause a lot of havoc in your body. It constricts vessels. You respond emotionally to things that are happening in your life. You might get set off easily. So all these feelings like anger and fear and worry and stuff like that all triggers adrenaline to run around in your system, okay? But then there's the other side of you, which slows things down, okay? And relaxation, listening to music, kind of laying low and stuff like that really helps to slow the body down and counteracts the stress, okay? And again, hormones, all right? So the calmer you are, you have these great hormones like dopamine and serotonin. These are really like feel-good hormones pumping through your body. There's vasodilation, and all these hormones are like moving through your body very nicely, okay, and you feel good, endorphins, all that stuff. But then the stress, okay, totally shuts that down, that nice slowed down calm part of you, slows it down, and then you get all pumped up. So I want to talk about this because this is huge when it comes to wellness and your state of mind, your wellness, your health, okay? Because being in a stress mode 365 days a year can really take a toll on you physically and mentally, okay? Stress does weird things, makes you forget. You start losing some concentration and stuff. So we don't really like to be there, but we are. Okay? You got autopilot thinking, which can stress you out. And by the way, 99.9% of stress is, believe it or not, self-induced, okay? Because nobody's, like, talking to you in your head about certain things. You're doing it all yourself. So if you're a chronic worrier, you're doing it. If you're, you know, just kind of spinning your wheels about something or anything, you're doing that. Nobody else is doing it. If you're constantly putting yourself down or comparing yourself and doing all kinds of stuff like that, you're doing that. Nobody else is doing that. Okay? Nobody else knows what you're thinking. All right? So meditation, mindfulness, okay? They're kind of like along the same lines, but they're a little different. Is a wonderful skill, a wonderful tool to help you calm down, to help you achieve wellness, to help you feel better. It can combat depression, okay? It can, like I mentioned before earlier, you know, vasodilation and things like that. It can help you, it can teach you how to respond instead of emotionally reacting, okay? And when you do this over time, you strengthen your mind muscle to really incorporate these methods into your life, okay? So what is meditation? Meditation is focused thought. And I know you've probably seen monks in the orange robes, and they focus very deeply on meditation. What are they doing? Well, they're breathing. Their breathing is their anchor. And they're just focusing on something. There's all kinds of meditation. There's transcendental and stuff where you say, where you focus on Frankie snoring. All right? But you focus and you just focus 100% on the sound or maybe the word or visualization. But mindfulness is a little different in the fact it still uses breathing. It's a staple. It's the key to meditation or to mindfulness. The way I like to teach it is that it's insightful. It's insightful meditation. So if you sit still for a certain amount of time and you have these thoughts that kind of pop up into your head, the anchor or the element that's going to break this crazy, wild, you know, autopilot thinking is your breath, okay? And what happens is that, you know, you could have this really spiraling trail of thought, and you just bring your mind back to breathing, and those thoughts, they just disappear, okay? And we call it insightful meditation, mindfulness, because sometimes things come up in your life that you probably never, ever thought about. They just kind of pop up, and it's insightful. You just kind of look at it, observe it, and forget about it. Okay, or not forget about it or do something about it, but you just acknowledge that it's there and you take note of it. And I always recommend that you have a journal, create a journal, so that you can write these thoughts down. Okay, write them down because they're that important. And your mind will not expose anything in your life that you're not psychologically prepared for. Okay? Your mind is very protective of you, alrighty? But mindfulness is a wonderful, wonderful skill to adopt. Now, the way that I like to teach it is I like to call it unraveling, okay? Because I don't want you to think that, oh my God, you got to sit in the lotus position, cross your legs, you know, put your hands in the, you know, the index finger to the thumb, arms out. You don't have to do that. You can be mindful. You can be mindfully meditating anywhere. You can be sitting in your chair. You could be sitting outside on a beautiful day on a on a rock or a cliff and taking in the air and the scenery and just breathing. Okay, you can do this anywhere. Okay, you don't have to assume that popular stance position to meditate. Okay, you don't have to sit on the floor. Okay, but you want to be comfortable. And here's the key: you want to do this with intention. You want to set aside a minute, 5 minutes, whatever it is. And you're going to say to yourself, I'm going to sit with intention today for 5 minutes and I'm just going to slow down. Now, a lot of people think that when you just sit still and breathe that you're not doing anything. That you will be challenged. You will have some mental objections that pop up like, oh my God, this is boring. What am I doing this for? It's a waste of time. I'm just sitting here. I could be doing blah, 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 blah. So these are the objections you're going to have, okay? And that's normal, okay? That's the resistance that's popping into your head, the resistance that's popping into your head. So you're going to have that, but if you can just go beyond it, let those thoughts happen, but just do your nice, slow breathing. You breathe normally, nice and slow, and you're focused on your breath, and those thoughts, they'll just disappear, okay? So I like to call it unraveling because it's unraveling your mind, unraveling your body, loosening it up to relax and calm down, and you're just breathing and taking everything in. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. It will change, you know. If you've ever heard of the word neuroplasticity, that's what I want to say, neuroplasticity, okay? Science has shown, research has shown, medical research science has shown that there's something called neuroplasticity where your brain, the frontal lobe, will actually change in response to this mindfulness meditation. It's amazing. It can actually shift your thoughts from a negative point of view to a more positive, compassionate, moralistic point of view of life and yourself. That's pretty phenomenal, okay? As I mentioned before, it helps with depression, okay? You know, there's a lot of wonderful physical things that go on, and these feel-good hormones that I've mentioned before, they rise to the top. They're more available to you than if you were stressed, okay? So when I start learning about mindfulness, I took a very good class with Jon Kabat-Zinn. Now, you maybe have heard his name, but we kind of call him or view him as the father of stress reduction, okay, and also of mindful meditation, which he has been promoting for over 20 years or so, okay? And he started teaching this in a hospital in Massachusetts, okay? And so I went to this awesome seminar that he gave. And the first day I was there, it was a 5-day seminar, costed a lot of money. And I only bring that up because that was one of my mental complaints. Okay, my mental complaint. And I'm sitting there, and well, we show up, a colleague and I went, and we would go into this big hall. There must have been like about 200 people at the same time doing the same thing. So we'd go to this big hall, and we'd wake up at 5 a.m., and we'd sit in silence. First, we'd come back, we'd sit in silence. We'd break for lunch, we'd come back. John would do a discussion on a certain topic, and then we would sit for a while. Then we'd break for dinner, and sometimes we had another session after dinner, okay? Now, the first couple of days, it drove me nuts. Can you imagine, like, sitting on and off for a couple hours, just sitting and breathing and letting your thoughts come and go, okay? Well, it drove me absolutely nuts. I would sit there, and And I'd be saying to myself, oh man, I could be doing something else. Why am I here? I spent so much money. I could be home, blah, 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 doing this, doing that. My mind was running like a train. It was running like a train, you know, and I couldn't. The only way I could stop it is when I recognized and paid attention to my breath as I would breathe in and breathe out and breathe in and breathe out and breathe in and breathe out. And by the third day, I finally got it. I finally figured it out that it was the breath that stopped that train of thought. It was the breathing, the slow breathing, sitting in stillness, taking everything in, allowing those thoughts to come, paying attention to them, observing them, and letting go of, you know, what wasn't true. And you don't have to believe what you're thinking, by the way. You really don't, because they're just thoughts. And so many times we grow up thinking that what we have heard about ourselves from others is true. Now, I ask you, is that really true? Is that really true? No. All right? These are just things that you've heard over the years, and it's just gotten to you that you've heard it so many times that you actually start to believe it. So this is a way to really come to connect with your inner self, with your inner beliefs. You just listen. You just acknowledge the thoughts. You don't attach yourself to the thought. Okay? Attachment. Because if you attach yourself to the thinking, you're just going to go off and get on another train and just go. All right? But if you're able to not attach yourself and just kind of observe what's passing through you, you don't have to take it on. You don't have to own that. You can just kind of look, observe, let it go. Okay? So mindfulness, being mindful, is also about living in the moment. Now, we live, we live in the unknown. Every day is the unknown. The only true moment, if you're listening to this right now, the only true moment is right now that you're listening to me talking about this, and you hear it and you're listening. It's the real moment right now. I got a little thingy in my throat. Tickle. So when this show is over, you're going to go on to another moment in your house or going out or whatever, and that becomes a new moment, okay? So this radio show now becomes a memory. So we live in the unknown. Every morning when we wake up, it's the unknown. We don't know what kind of day it's going to be, what's going to happen. We live in the unknown, but we don't worry about it, do we? We don't panic and we don't, you know, try to anesthetize ourselves because tomorrow's coming. We don't know what's going to happen. We're not chronic worriers about tomorrow or the next day, okay? We kind of know how things are going to go, but it's not going to cripple you, so to speak, okay? So mindfulness kind of helps you to accept that better. And actually, being mindful of your life and how you spend your day in the moments actually makes your day longer. Makes your day longer. Because you're not as hurried. You're going through your day. You get more stuff done. There's time distortion that goes along with mindfulness. And actually, that's a very nice thing. Okay? Because what you thought would take hours is probably unrealistically not true. Okay? Or it's just unrealistic for you to think that way. And you could do that same thing and find out that maybe it takes like 10 minutes. And you go, oh, that wasn't bad. Alrighty. So mindfulness is a wonderful thing to learn about. Unraveling is a wonderful thing. And if you don't like the term meditation because you think it's kind of woo-woo, you know, it's kind of hocus pocus, you can just simply call it unraveling. Unraveling. That's what I like to call it. That's how I like to teach it, is that you slow down and you unravel. You loosen. And you just take everything in. And you breathe normally and easily. And okay? And you're just open to so many more wonderful sensations and different types of and different ways of thinking. Now, when I was with John, one of the very first things he had us do, which I thought was nuts, but then I totally understood it, was he passed out a raisin to every attendee, okay? And boy, did I roll my eyes. I just kind of went, oh, what the heck? So a raisin, why? Well, so what I had to do with the raisin is I had to pick it up in my fingers, okay? And I had to roll it around in my finger between my index and my thumb finger, roll it around. And I had to feel it. I had to smell it. I had to do a little taste of it. Ear and kind of squish it around so I could hear the sounds. Okay? And then eventually I had to eat it, but very, very slowly. And I had to imagine that this raisin, this little bitty raisin, was slowly going down my throat, down the esophagus into my stomach, and I had to pay attention to that experience. So when we did that, you just became more aware of your current environment, sounds, smells. It enriches your life because you're in the moment. And that's what this raisin taught me. And that's what, you know, if I'm at home and I'm staring out the window, I just kind of watch the snow come down. I feel the coolness. I hear my dogs. I feel my breathing. I'm just very much aware of the moment. And that's what mindfulness does. It actually expands the wealth in your life when you focus on the moment, when you're in the here and now. It's pretty amazing. Now, mindfulness comes with some attitudes. And I don't know if I have enough time to go through them today, but I can certainly go through them at another time. But one of them I'll mention, okay, because I can't believe it. My time is running out almost. So one of the attitudes of mindfulness is judgment. Now, I know that you've been very judgmental. We all are. I have, okay? And so, for example, you see somebody, you're commuting to work, I don't know, you're on the bus and the train, and you see somebody, and maybe you like what they have on, maybe you don't, and you're just kind of judgmental of who they are, what they look like, what they have on, what they're doing, you know, and we start judging them. People hate to be judged, but they do it. You do it. I do it. I break myself from doing it. I catch myself when I'm doing it, and then I just let it go. But judgment can be very damaging. Can be very, very damaging when you judge somebody else. And then you find out all the things that you were thinking about in your head were absolutely not true. Because you get to know the person, you talk to them, and you find out that, oh my gosh, what a num-num I was thinking all this stuff, and it's not really true. So judgment is very deceptive, and it's not very productive, okay? So if you can learn how to let that go, you're really, really giving yourself an incredible gift by letting that go and letting things and people be as they are and present themselves as they are, and not being judgmental about them. Okay? So that's one of the attitudes of mindfulness. Now, I'm talking a lot about stuff, so it's good that this call is like only 30 minutes or less, okay? Because this is something I can talk to you till I'm blue in the face about, but this is actually something that you have to experience. You have to sit down and experience. You have to experience the challenge, the resistance, and get beyond that, because then you're empowering yourself to really understand how to control your thoughts. Yes. And this has been very, very helpful with people with a lot of anxiety, okay, with chronic worrying, because it really teaches you to accept, which is another principle. Well, I'll have to bring that up another time, but to accept things as they are, as they present to you, okay? And that is such a powerful thing. And when you learn how to do that, it's amazing. So mindfulness, meditation, unraveling. Words that are interchangeable, but with mindfulness, the one that I like to use is insightful, because you're opening up a whole other door to you. And when we're so busy thinking on that train, thinking, we close the door to a part of ourselves that's inward, and you close the door, and because you're so busy thinking that you don't get a chance to really meet the other part of you that's probably anxious to come out. It's great for creativity, productivity, better relationships, better health, better mindset. The list goes on and on and on. Lowers your blood pressure. You know, there's a host of things. Okay? So we're coming near the end. This is Leslie Federici. I hope you enjoyed this conversation with you. I welcome you to, you can find me on Facebook, Leslie Federici RN, or just Leslie Federici, and contact me, you know, and I'll point you in the right direction of resources and things to read and CDs to listen to that will help you start your journey in mindfulness, okay? So this is Leslie Federici. I'll be here next Sunday, Saturday, okay, to talk to you about this and more and other topics as when Rich comes back, we can explore some other new awesome conversations, topics, okay? So have a good rest of the day, and I'll talk to you soon. This is Leslie Federici. Bye for now. Talk to you next week.